Welcome to Syntax.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Front End Happy Hour podcast.
Welcome to this week's JS party.
Live from Shipshape Studios, this is Whiskey Web and Whatnot with your hosts, Robbie the Wagner and me, Charles William Carpenter III. That's right, Charles. We drink whiskey and talk about web development. I mean, it's all in the name. It's not that deep. This is Whiskey Web and Whatnot. Do not adjust your set.
Hey, what's up? Live at All Things Open with the folks from Code Rabbit. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. So before I ask you much else, we're going to start with the Cabernet, because that's what we do here. So
All right. We
just had Josh. Now we have Joel.
Oh, it's a double J kind of day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a long pour.
Yeah. All right. Pass it down.
Yep.
Oh, thanks, Joel. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It must be hard for you guys, like at a conference. Whoa, that is a...
It's a generous Joel.
Yeah. You're my favorite bartender. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to take these with me, so...
That's what we've been saying all day.
That's one way to think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a fancy toast for you guys. Anyone have a toast that they have?
Do we finger out, like pinky out with the...
Like Dr. Evil or something? Like 100 billion.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's the open source, I guess. Yeah,
open source.
Joel tastes similar to Josh, I would say.
Yeah. I think they're related.
So, you're from Code Rabbit. Give me an elevator pitch. What is it? Why do I want it?
Speed up your code review. Make it easier to do code review.
All right, cool. We're done. We'll see you later.
All right. Thanks, guys. And that's the pod. Thanks for coming out.
More in-depth, like, why choose it over something else? Like, what is it? What's your bread and butter? Like, what's the secret sauce?
I think the first thing I would say is try all the things.
Okay.
Figure, like, we've got a lot of competitors. They've got a lot of tools. They've got a lot of products. Try them all. See the one that you like the most, the one that gives you the most value. We're here to provide value, support people. If you pick another one, my only request would be that you let us know why and what we could do better. We have a default configuration that we think works really well with a lot of people for really any language, any kind of repo, and it's highly configurable as well. So it's a really quick onboarding, like log in with GitHub or any SSO provider you want. Authorize the CodeRabbit AI OAuth GitHub app. Mm-hmm. That's your second click. And then it's set to auto review any PR. So as soon as you open up a PR, it's going to fire off. You'll see there'll be a comment that says, hey, I see this. I'm going to be comparing this commit and this commit. And it's going to take a little bit of time because we pull down all that code. We run, I don't know, probably hundreds of different tools, workflows to try to understand what's going on in the code. Everything. I think one of the coolest things is we build up the abstract syntax tree.
Okay.
So we can really know how everything's connected. And then one of the things that is just immediate value that you'll see by default is a sequence diagram. So we'll give you an overview, summary, that kind of stuff. But we'll also provide you a visual sequence diagram of what's going on in the code based on the logic. It's not, you know, we've got a series of prompts that start with, you're the world's best code reviewer.
Okay.
And YOLOing it. So it's just a ton of static tools. Like we're really open about it. That you can go on our site. If you're, you know, enterprise, you probably care a lot about compliance stuff, data retention policies, that kind of thing. We're super open about all that stuff. Trust.coderabbit.ai if you want to see that. We also have a blog post where we try to be open about, you know, as soon as a new model comes out, we recognize that we have a lot of really valuable information just from seeing so many different repos. We're over 2 million repos, 13 million and growing. It's probably larger than that as of last week, reviews that have been done. So we have a lot of, you know, no one else really has that much information about code review and be able to kind of evaluate new models right as they come out. And so we try to blog about that stuff. Like when Claude 4.5 Sonnet came out, we got a blog post about that. We're showing kind of running through all of our evaluations, our data. What do we understand? And that one's a really interesting because it's like, it's better, but there's a paradox involved in it. And I won't give away more. You got to go read the blog post. But then, you know, GPT-5 came out and GPT-5 Codex came out. These are all things in the last like month and a half, something like that. And we compare those two and we show like, what do we find? We don't try to hide that as like, you know, competitive advantage information or anything like that. We just want to be there to support people. Like I think I said the other day and a couple of people have been saying at this conference, especially and this will be the last thing I say on this breath, is that the most selfish thing that you can do in your life is be generous to others. Good things happen. If good things happen to you, if you're just generous for others, not like, oh, I'm going to be generous because the ROI is high, I'm being generous, but like,
right,
just being generous, people talk to you, maybe down the line, like someone connects you, maybe they don't, but you still feel good for helping somebody.
Yeah. So, that's a good point. So you talked a bit about, I forget the numbers, some millions of like reviews, whatever. So I'm curious about policies on what if I don't want it to learn from my stuff, or like I have a on-prem need to be like very secure, or like, can you do that kind of thing? Or
yep. It's kind of like, I don't know, I think a lot of people think there's some mythical secret sauce that you're gonna be able to develop if you like retain everybody's, vacuum it all up, get everyone's data and store it, and then you're gonna, you know, have some kind of wild insights into how the world works or something that no one else does. But I think in reality, like if you do that, the first thing you gotta do now is, okay, now we gotta have a hire for a security team.
Yeah.
Now we got to deal with the inevitable risk of like, you know, some kind of leak of sensitive information. Okay. Now we definitely got to have a PR team or get the best PR people in, you get, you know, systems and data warehousing. Those are just going to be costs that just keep scaling up, you know, and then you're going to have to hire like the world's best data scientists and ML engineers to just kind of dig into that data. So if you're a startup trying to go fast, I think the most important thing is you find what you want to do and you do that one thing really, really well. And I see that a lot in a lot of open source projects that are going that way, like Ghosty. I was an iTerm user for a really long time. And then Ghosty came out. Maybe to get like kind of direct at that question, in order to do good code review, you need to know what's actually in the code, which is kind of an obvious statement. But we see a lot of people take a lot of shortcuts. So they're maybe indexing on things or creating a cache, embeddings, all that kind of stuff. And that can definitely help from like, you've got an LLM and you send a prompt. If you're giving it an ability to kind of explore a highly compressed space, like a vector embedding of the code base, yeah, that's going to help them. But what's going to help them more is the same if you had a human that had infinite kind of time and resources and patience to go through line by line everything. That's going to be better than kind of this intuition that it might have of what's going on in the code base from like doing like some vector search kind of stuff. So plus you got to keep all that stuff updated. I don't know how much you want to go into like all the things, but like
we're going deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, you tell me. So what you're saying is you have a human that infinitely knows every line of every code base is what I heard.
Yeah. We have one intern. Yeah.
His name is Jerry. Yeah. It's Jerry.
Yeah, he does it all.
Yeah. Kudos to you, man.
Yeah. Jerry.
Hey, that's another J.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
It's going to be the next one on the list.
Yeah.
No, but I think to just touch on one thing that you said, I think one thing that I noticed about how we do things at CodeRabbit that is different to how I see many of the competitors going out there, and especially going to this conference, you know, you talk a lot about the competitors. Of course, everybody's using GitHub Copilot. Everybody's sure. Been checking out Bugbot from Cursor. And I think there is no team out there in the world right now that has been specialized on code reviews as intensively as CodeRabbit.
Okay.
And that really shows from everything, starting from the user experience when you onboard someone to the product, all the way through how you configure our YAML file, the configurations that you can set, the ease of use. Like literally just coming here, I was almost late, almost would have broken on my German promise of being online because I was onboarding a very experienced JavaScript developer who hasn't even figured out that there was a YAML file because he was so satisfied with the product out of the box.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice struggle for us actually right now. Mm-hmm. Is like we see a lot of people, and one of the great things about just being, we should say some really cool facts for open source about CodeRabbit. It's free for open source by default.
Nice.
There's no application you need to fill out and someone will review it or not review it. If the repo is set to public, I've got, I think, 160 repos on my GitHub. Just okay. Random stuff, like 99% of it. But CodeRabbit's on them all for free forever. So we just eat that. It's a very large inference cost.
It could be abused.
Yeah. And we see, especially on like really big open source projects, people, and it's kind of like 50-50 where people have discovered that there's configuration that you can do.
Okay.
Outside of like the default configuration. And then they kind of, some are like they change one thing and some are like they make it do whatever they want. I've seen it's great in open source because you can just see how people are using your product too.
Yeah.
More people, not our competitors maybe, should do more for open source. No, them too.
Yeah, GitHub. Don't do anything for open source.
But we can see, like, I saw one last week where they had it set up so that, you know, someone would open a PR, CodeRabbit would do its review. When CodeRabbit was done, mm-hmm. it had a template for how PR should be done. And in that template is not just, you know, the naming and whatnot, but also what CodeRabbit's summaries and walkthroughs should be. Because I guess I should probably reach out to them. They thought, okay, well, we don't want that to be the second comment. We want the sequence diagram. We want the summary in the first comment.
Okay.
And so they had it. So the pipeline, it would run, and then the CodeRabbit would edit the author's first comment on a PR. And I thought that was really cool. And I hadn't even thought about doing that myself. So we have kind of like this challenge of like communicating to people like, hey, first time using it, maybe it's like, you know, 50-50 hit rate on the value that it gives you, like in the comments it gives. I'd argue that that's a really good hit rate on signal to noise, because that means that it is helping you, it's providing value. And especially on the first pass, you know, you open a PR and you have something, no one's going to come in. Hopefully you don't have a review process that's like in 3 minutes, looks good to me, merge to production. And
yeah, you know, who would do that?
Never.
You come back 15, 20 minutes later or, you know, the next day or whatever, and you get this kind of helpful stuff there. I think that's really great. But then you can just take it further. It's like, well, it does a really good job, you know, and we're doing these other things still in review. And it's like anything that you're doing that you're always doing or always expecting in code review, you can probably get CodeRabbit to do it. You can just ask. So you can ask. This is another great fun feature. I've got a great story from yesterday about this feature. But you can just tag, as long as CodeRabbit's on your repo, you can just tag at CodeRabbitAI and ask it anything. And I mean anything. Like, I wish I had this pulled up.
Give me the Gettysburg address.
So,
yeah, yeah.
Yes, you can. So,
should I put ham on rye?
Yes, we can ask all those things after. If you want to pull it up right now, we can do it. I had a gentleman, and he had his daughter with him, 8 years old. And it's hard to stay in one place if you've got a little kid. And he had a lot of questions and wanted to see like tons of things, because he was doing a talk on code review.
Okay.
And
Avi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know Avi. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like a power couple. And
yeah,
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, trading off, taking care of the kids. Like, and I know what that's like. And you kind of get like anxious because you're getting pulled away by one thing and you got something else as well. And so when she heard that about the chat thing, she's like, oh, okay. We asked like a bunch of fun questions. Like, what's the most popular country in the world? Who's your favorite?
Popular how?
Yeah. That's a great yeah. question. Because I asked nuance. Her, I was like, popular? And she said popular. I'm like, that's ambiguous.
Yeah.
And so what it did was, what CodeRabbit did, and you can see it because, again, we're like, if you do chat with CodeRabbit, you get every single time at the top of its response, you'll get the analysis chain. And it's hidden. And I just realized today that I made the connection that it's a carrot. You know, it's like the triangle
rabbit.
Carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, like just in like GitHub Markdown, how you can collapse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're detailed carrot. Summary, you know, expandable HTML. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
carrot with a knee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like the my dad joke impulse is like, there's something there. We got to do something with the carrot. But in that, you can see exactly what CodeRabbit's done to arrive at whatever its response is. The answer is it's given. So on popular, you can see it performed a web query. And then it was like, what's the most popular country? And then it came up with, as part of that web query, what's the one that is like viewed as the best to go to? So like popular. And so it has a citation for some travel thing or whatever, some travel magazine. Then it's like, which one has the most people and which one has the most tourists that visit it each year? And then so it provided that in like a kind of a fun thing, and then asked the second one was, can you go to the bathroom? And it responded with, which is fun, your kids.
Yeah.
These are the topics that our youth are talking about. I'd like to say the wine has kicked in, that it has not kicked in yet.
Oh, Joel.
It came up with like a really cute message. It was like, no, I can't because I'm a robot. I can help you with these things and these things. It put a little bunny emoji in there. And then it said like, the second line was like, But would you like to talk about the code that's in PR number 18?
I know Code Rabbit's used in repo, like, because I know Daniel Rowe from like the Nux team, and I know I contributed to one of his projects, and he has Code Rabbit running there. Is Code Rabbit just for code review, or is it like, can you use it like a Claude Code or like a Codex, or is it really, is the company really focused just on code review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's not a bad thing. I'm just generally curious, because like a lot of people try to be like, we're the everything kind of.
Yes, we see that. We see that a lot. So a couple things that make us kind of different in that area is a lot of people are out there saying like, you know, our AI coding tool or AI code review tool or something like that is so good that you can just let it go. YOLO mode and just go. And I think we all have seen the results of those kinds of things when you just let them go. They are definitely getting better and better and better and better almost every month now. But we don't try to make those claims. We think the responsible thing to do is to be an owner of your work, of your craft, and do that human review. It's most powerful when it's augmenting your flows. So we try to meet people where they are. So the other thing that makes us different there is we do have an IDE extension, works in VS Code, Cursor, WinServe, etc. That helps you when you know, the default is when you make a commit, a little thing pops up for a few seconds that says, I notice you made a commit. You want me to review this for you here.
Okay.
Because you're there. Same with, you know, when you open up a PR, it's there. That's where you are as a developer. We also have a CLI that we've put out. It's, to my knowledge, still the only code review agentic CLI. It's firing off a code review. You know, you can compare whatever commits you want. But what's cool is if you're someone who's trying to do the forefront stuff and try to, you know, put Claude in a container and just let it rip, you can have there, you know, when you tell Claude to, you know, build my, you know, $1 trillion SaaS company and your one magic prompt like that, you can say like, when you're done, run CodeRabbit --prompt-only or --plain. And what it will do is, instead of that it being like an interactive, very pretty CLI, that's a really cool gradient ASCII art thing. Okay, I won't go into that. I'm feeling it, the eye roll over here.
No, I wasn't eye rolling. That's something in my, I think it's just been a long day for me. Gave a talk earlier so and energy. Been working the booth. Yeah. So no, definitely 100% yeah. No side
need
eye roll.
A little bit more
here.
Joel.
But yeah, so like you can say like, when you're done, run this, and then wait, and if you get issues back about your code, address those. And so what in that mode for CodeRabbit CLI, it won't give you like all the things. It'll just give you what we give every single time on GitHub. We'll give you a little thing also in a caret that says prompt for AI agents. And so you get a message. It's like one line or something like that. It's like, here's the problem. Here's a couple sentences. And then here's what you need to do. And then that way, you know, we're respecting people that are using agents, and it's, you know, a single model, so you don't want to flood their context window with unnecessary tokens. It's just what we think is the most efficient kind of message to give to AI. So I've definitely thrown that in containers. I have a pet project where I'm doing game development that's only, my rule is I can't look at the code.
Okay.
Nothing can go wrong.
Just yeah. Make something magical. Surprise me.
Exactly. Yeah. And then so I have every single one. And you can do this with Cursor, Codex, Gemini, anything. Because at the end of the day, you're just asking it to run a shell command. So if you have shell access to your coding agent, you can run it. And it's fun to watch. It catches things. And again, like, I do look at those messages at least, and, you know, not 100% hit rate. There's still definitely that need for human in the loop there and human ownership.
It's so funny you would mention that. I was at Frontier Tower, which is like this big community space in San Francisco, the other week, and I met like this AI researcher from Stanford, and he got $100,000 in like OpenAI credits, whatever. And he was telling me, yeah, he's running like 120 Docker containers right now doing exactly that.
It's like burn them all in.
Exactly.
An
and the most success he had at the moment was like trying to give it the overall mission to act as an army general. Built you up in that way. But I actually wanted to pick up on something else. I almost lost my plot. Yes. So I think back to your question about like, do we only focus on code review? Yes. And I think the main focus really is to focus on senior developers and help them in their code review workflow reduce the cognitive load that you normally have when you're reviewing a large PR of a junior dev or somebody else in your team. that you might not be as familiar with their code base, whatever they're pushing. So the same time you're looking at a new PR and you've got so much new code to figure out what it's actually doing, just taking away 50% of that cognitive load by giving you a point to start with, giving you the sequence diagram to understand, okay, what is this person actually trying to do, and just making sure that you have a code review buddy on your side that, you know, picks up some of the slack that you would normally forget. That's improving very powerful.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's great. I just heard a big boom a second ago. Like, it wasn't an eye roll. Yeah. I was like, what was that?
I don't know. I think people are tearing stuff down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's actually really refreshing to not try to do everything, because like there's so many things that are like, just run me all day and like see what you get when you come back. And I'd rather you be like, hey, this and this might be wrong. Here's how you can do the next thing, instead of just like, all right, you come back and there's like 50 change files and like, you know, I don't know what you did. I'm just, it runs, so I'm going to accept it. Like, I don't want that. I want to actually know what the code is doing. So, yeah.
100%. Yeah. I think we see that in the market. Like, it's a reflection of the market where we know that, like, we as, you know, anybody that's following like AI or building anything that has to do with large language models at all, we know that it's extremely a powerful technology. I think at this point we can just all say like, yeah, it's not hype to say it's a revolutionary technology, but the killer 100% success rate use case, no one's really figured out yet. And, you know, it can definitely help you, for instance, with like deep research can be very, very helpful, but it's not going to go make you the presentation that's going to like win in your boardroom or your sales pitch and just do all that for you. It's not going to be your sales team for you or something like that. And so I think people are starting to, a lot of these companies are taking this kind of scattershot kind of approach and seeing what sticks. Whereas, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, like I really, really like tools that do one thing and do it well. If you do that, if you're just good at one thing and you're really, really good and you're known to be really, really good at that one thing, great. The pie is huge for everybody. There's a seat at the table for everybody. But if your thing is like mediocre across the board, your only play is going to be like, you've got distribution already. And that's kind of like, people are like, okay, sure. So I think people, like, we try to shoot for making it as good as possible, being as transparent as possible. Like, we, again, going back to like the analysis chain, like you can see what shell scripts it came up with to do performance analysis, like every time it's just there. And I think that that's a really, really cool thing. And it's what attracted me to CodeRabbit in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's good advice for almost all jobs, is find a specialty that you like, because I have a failed consulting agency. We were specialized in Ember and then kind of moved into React and Next.js and Vue and Svelte and everything. We could do everything. And then there was like no leads at that point, because it's like everyone can do everything, but only some people can do the one thing really well. And so anyone trying to start any kind of business, that is my advice to you. Do that. Do not be a generalist. Pick a thing you like and do it very well.
This just in, whiskey.fund is now open for all your merch needs. That's right, Robbie. We're hearing reports of hats, sweaters, and t-shirts, as well as a link to join our Discord server. What's a Discord server? Just read the prompter, man. Hit subscribe, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app, and tell your friends about our broadcast. It really does help us reach more people and keeps the show growing. All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Do you guys like Parks and Recreation?
No, I do, yeah.
Yes.
My all-time favorite quote from Ron Swanson, besides all the like just hilariously funny ones, like life advice Ron Swanson, is don't half-ass two things, full-ass one thing. And I think that it's for business and for life. Just go all in on one thing.
Yeah. I like the burger one where it's like, I don't know. I forget exactly what happens, but like the other guy makes this like really elaborate burger and he's like, look, it's meat on a bun. Eat it. And his is better. They're like, oh, what the?
Yeah. He goes to the breakfast and he's like, I want, what would you like? He's like, I want all your meat. And then the guy walks away and he's like, no, come back. I think you might have misheard me. I just want to clarify all of the meat that you have.
Oh, yeah. Great show. Man. They actually have a...
Is it Lagavulin, I guess, that's like he has in his drawer?
Yeah.
They have a Nick Offerman edition.
No
that's
way.
Like,
oh, man.
They have a couple of them now, and he, like, I think, goes and collaborates with them on it. So
that's so cool. Smoky,
amazing.
Though.
Yeah, yeah, that's
Lagavulin's tough. Pretty solid. Though.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, like, so you were saying, like, people were discovering the config file for Code Rabbit. So, like, you seem to have pretty decent, sensible defaults. We don't need to go down the laundry list, but, like, what are the kind of things you can actually extend or, like, I guess, customize for Code Rabbit?
Yeah, that was a great question. I mean, maybe start into kind of, like, the things you might not expect that you could customize. So we run a ton of different tools, open source tools that, you know, security standard tools, like, because why wouldn't we? If we can figure out how to orchestrate agents well, then we can just run lots and lots of tools. So we run, I think we say 40 plus on our site, but it's probably a lot more by now. But we list those off there. You can configure those in the YAML file to, like, run or not run if you want, which is kind of an odd thing that you could have such control over kind of the internal workings and, like, what it's doing. But if you zoom out from, like, kind of the AI hype and we've got special sauce and that, what kind of everyone's doing, at the end of the day, it's a dev tool. Like, who really cares if it's AI under the hood? It's an implementation detail. Like, I don't know.
Right.
I was telling someone, they were asking, because we don't have a model selector. And that's really, really common in AI tools. And yeah. I think that's kind of, okay, now the wine's kicking in. I'm going to do some hot takes.
Right. Welcome to spicy time.
Yeah, spicy time. I think that that's as a product developer, it's your responsibility to make a good product experience and not leak implementation details or not add cognitive load. And I don't think that it's right or fair. I think people should be able to tinker with the different models and play around. I think that's great to have playgrounds for those kinds of things and selection. But if you're building a product, you should know what model should be run. It shouldn't be put on your users. Like, I don't open up a mobile app and it's asked me, like, do you want the backend to be run in Golang or is .NET okay? You know, that would be so wild. And, you know, like imagine like that
or both,
it's, where it's like, well, I only do them if it's,
I only use apps where the backend is Golang personally, but
like that's so wild. Like, I don't want that cognitive load when I'm using a dev tool. I just want the thing to do the thing. Like, going back, like, it just do the thing that you're supposed to do it well, and be honest and transparent about it. Like, going back to kind of the, do you do anything more than code review? Because we have that scaffolding over the entire, when we know what's going on in the entire code base, we can offer diffs and lines of code and whatnot, and you can apply those. You know, you can commit it now. You can click a button to open in a new PR.
Yeah.
You can look at the, copy the diff just for yourself. You can send it to an AI agent. Whatever you want to do, because we know those are all the things that people will want to do in their flows. But we always say at the top, too, like, this is important, like, 2 exclamation points, red, important. Always review the code. Always review the output. If you just take someone's code, whether it's an AI coding agent or, I don't remember what the intern's name that we made up. But
Jerry.
Yeah.
You take
Jerry's killing
code,
it. Like, he's killing it.
And you just take it and say, like, yep, go. Well, okay, you don't need Git anymore at that point. Just save your updates to the file system and serve that to production. Like, you don't need code review, you don't need Git. So don't just YOLO, don't just push to production off of your local. Like, go through the code review process, as we all have realized is very, very important over, you know, the course of the history of software. And don't just take your coding agent's code, don't just take Code Rabbit's code and say, yep, that's the right thing. Although I will say, Bun.js, user of Code Rabbit, my favorite commit message that I've seen in my short time so far at Code Rabbit is on a Bun PR where it's Jared. Shout out to Jared. Massive respect. Like, one of the people I've been following for so long. He's so freaking smart.
Super smart guy.
Gosh. Yeah. And man, he's just like, not to promote the kind of work-life balance kind of thing, but it seems like he's a night owl. He'd be like,
I don't think he sleeps.
He's never slept.
Yeah.
He's you know, you see the pictures of, like, you know, the San Francisco developer's room where it's like a mattress, no blankets.
Yeah.
Like, that's his room. He's coding all day.
In a bathroom.
I feel like if Jared didn't sleep, he wouldn't have a bed, because that would just be wasteful.
That's true. So maybe he has no bed. He has a chair to rest occasionally.
Yeah.
But, like, sorry, Jared.
But we're saying good things about you. We're just joking.
Massive respect. And it's this PR he's opened. to fix like a deep internal thing. They've got RoboBun, which if you want to just see just how far you can take a bot that can be specialized in your library or framework and just build it as a GitHub app, like RoboBun is really, really cool. You can see it on all their PRs, but it's all these tests that it's gone through, like scrolling is like 100 or probably more than that things. And a human reviewer is not going to go over that. Plus it's Jared. Like you don't want to be like, hey, Jared, there might be a problem in your code.
Yeah, you better be correct if you say that.
I don't have the courage. I know like all the people on the Bun team definitely do, but I would be like just imposter syndrome would take over. But first comment from CodeRabbit is critical. There's a memory leak here. And it's something that's internals for like when you're spinning up a bunch of VMs and tearing them down. There's memory. So it wouldn't be anything that anyone would, a user of Bun would never experience. And it says this thing, and I remember when I was first scrolling, I was like, oh no. Oh no, are we gonna do the AI slop, AI spam thing? Like, you remember curl and all the security, the CVEs that were opened up by slop AI? I was like, oh no, are we in that boat?
It's happening.
And then it's a resolve thread and the commit that resolves it from Jared. CodeRabbit is right. This is a commit message.
Nice.
I'm just like, yes.
That's cool though, because I mean, they care a lot about performance, obviously.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, I'm impressed that LLMs are good with Zig.
Yeah.
Because like Zig, I mean, it's pretty,
one of the four people that are good with Zig. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's CodeRabbit and Jared and the rest of the staff.
Yeah. I think I looked up, I did a query on GitHub the other week and I was like, you know, you can select the language, the predominant language in the repo. I was like, okay, what are the GitHub projects that have over 10,000 stars? They're written in predominantly Zig. There's Bun.
Just Bun.
What is Bun? Ziglang. It's the actual language. And then Ghosty.
Dude. I love Ghosty.
I love, like, there was a podcast he did maybe like a year ago, I want to say, when they were like asked him a bunch of questions. It was like, you know, after iTerm had released this like optional AI feature that like everyone exploded about. And it was like, guys, they did it as an optional thing. It's not on by default. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the internet's usually really fair and like very balanced takes. I'm being very sarcastic. He's just like, yeah, man, I'm just trying to make a really good tool. And they're like, what new features and stuff like that? And I was like, it's it.
I've been thoroughly enjoying all of his interactions because he's like, people are like, oh, how are you going to make money? What are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I have three commas in my bank account, bro.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I don't give a shit about making money.
Dude, massive respect for someone that has just made it and made it so big and then been like, you know what? I'm going to just make the best possible thing. I'm going to make it free and open source for everybody. Yeah. And we'll just take it from there.
Yeah. And scratch your own itch too. Like he wants that. Yeah. So that's
it's
always
so
the best
good.
Things.
Ghosty is so good.
I love the polishing Ghosty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I work for HashiCorp/IBM. So we all use Ghosty.
Oh, that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what's next? What can you do to improve? Like anything?
I think
on,
we got to go. We got to go now. We can't talk about product roadmap.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. Yeah, I didn't know if there's anything you could share, but if not, that's fine.
Okay, I can. I was kind of joking.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear the whole roadmap.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Okay. The whole roadmap. All the inners. You want to know how it works under the hood? It's this one prompt.
No, it's Jared.
Yeah. Jared. Yeah. So one thing that's on my plate is I've been trying to get a lot of feedback here from folks is that we are big proponents of open source. I think I mentioned that it's free for open source forever by default. We also, we pledged $200,000. I think we made that pledge in February as just cash, not credits, cash to open source maintainers. Because open source maintainers,
that's cool, man.
They need resources. We all know that they're starved for resources. I mean, it's basically the most of it is volunteer. And you do have, you know, great organizations in like the Linux Foundation, et cetera, that have made kind of this model over that. So it's not that they need your product more than anything else. It's they need money. They need, and money can get them what they need. And they know what they need best of all. So we made that pledge and then we upped it. We announced our Series B last month. And at the same time, we said, okay, we're going to up the pledge to $1 million.
Dang.
$1 million. I don't have the exact numbers, but we're a little over $600,000 so far. I'll put out a post.
Okay.
Sorry, Arvind, my boss. been busy this week.
He's like, I don't remember agreeing to $1 million.
Actually, it was $1 trillion.
That's the pinky. Now we got the pinky.
Yeah.
But for real, like what I've been trying to do is get feedback because I've contributed to open source for most of my career, I've gotten a lot out of contributing, not just the like I'm contributing and it feels good, which is a great feeling and it could be motivation in itself, but I've learned so much. Because if you're at a one company or maybe it's your third job, if it's your third job, you've seen how to do things three times. If you go look at open source, you can see an infinite amount of ways to do the thing that you're doing. Even if it's the same language, frameworks, tools, everything could be exactly the same in the stack. It's going to be different. Maybe it's the business logic a little different. Or maybe the product space a little different. Data models, like how things are flowing through the application, say, et cetera. Design patterns, all those things. You can just learn those things. You don't have, like, a lot of people are like, how do I start contributing to open source? Like, you can reap massive benefits for your own development just by reading open source. But what I've been trying to do, and the third time trying to come back to my train of thought, get product feedback. Because at the end of the day, it is code review, but there are discrete differences between for profit. That's the word I'm looking for.
We're all pro money, I think.
Got to get those like three money. Commas in my bank account.
You can move to countries that have higher denominations.
Shout out Zimbabwe. Let's go.
Actually, we should do that. Remember the Silicon Valley show? How is this guy, Aras Hanneman?
Yeah.
He comes on.
Tres Comas.
Tres Comas. The tequila next time.
We did actually make it. So Harjot, our CEO, shout out to Harjot. Just great guy to work with. Super technical. And on the business side, it's just kind of just someone that's very inspirational.
He's in the PRs himself.
Yes. On Monday last week, I need more wine. I need to focus. Monday last week, OpenAI had their OpenAI Dev Day, which is like the WWDC of OpenAI, kind of like Apple's yearly developer conference. He was a main stage speaker talking about code review, and literally the whole presentation, besides like kind of a shout out at the end to like what we published about GPT-5, GPT-5 code, it's kind of him repeating those things about what we find there, is we just look through open source repos. It's just, that was the talk. Here's how this open source project uses it. Here's how it detected a memory leak here. Here's how they've customized it a little bit. Like, it's just so cool to do that. And so rewarding day to day that you can just be like, oh, like we're just helping people. And people really like the part. We had someone coming up yesterday twice from I don't want to necessarily shout him out on the live stream, but like
I'll throw him under the bus.
Well, it would be more like a celebration of him, but like I don't want to necessarily call him out, but because they do open source work and closed source work, and they started using CodeRabbit. He loved it. He was the one that gave me this like 50-50 hit rate.
Okay.
And this take that like that's really good. And so he was saying this while I was talking to somebody. He came up and was just like, we love you guys, and I was kind of talking about stuff with him, and he just started talking about how they're using it, and I just like backed away. I was like, great, now we got a fifth person at the booth like doing and it was a project that people would be familiar with, this gentleman works on. So it was just really cool to hear him say, yeah, the first time we tried it, it was 50-50, and we're like, this is great. It just works for us. And then they're going through the configuration, making it better and better for themselves. You use the chat. If you say something like, hey, on this one, we're using this library in this way, we always want that to happen, CodeRabbit will kind of look, try to understand what you're saying. And most of the time, if you say something like, I won't always want you to do this, or maybe it'll just infer it from your comments, it'll create a learning. And this is another thing that's transparent, another carrot that shows you the learning that it's had. And you can manage those in the dashboard. You can see all of them. And they all are attributed to like, who is the person that I learned this from? Where's the link to like the PR or the issue or wherever I learned this from? And then what is the learning that I'm applying every time I'm doing code review? And so you can do that. That's like the quickest and easiest way to just have it start customizing to your needs. And then the more you use it, or the more history you have in your PRs, the more it can kind of generate context of, okay, how does this team operate? What do they actually care about? Maybe they don't care about memory leaks. It's like, don't tell me about my memory leaks.
Yeah, I don't care about them personally.
It's client side. Who cares? Like,
they won't be on the page that long.
Get more memory. It's okay.
You just download some more. Just have a download link. Yeah, like it's just so cool that so many people come up to us. I'm sure you have this experience too, where it's, people are just like, I really like your thing. And then they start talking to someone else about, that you're trying to talk to that's never heard of CodeRabbit. And
it's a great position to be in as a DevRel person when you have so many. And I'm saying this, I came before from a smaller startup where I had to work. I was working as a software engineer and as a DevRel person, which made it easy for me to sell because I knew the product so well because I was so deep in the code. But over here, it's just fluent because I feel like the product really hits the spot where people are right now feeling a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And you can feel that when people come up and they get excited about talking about your product, and then you get excited talking about your product, and then everybody gets excited.
Nice.
That's
cool.
It's good to be around.
All right, we're about at time. Where can people try it out? Where should they go to check everything out?
You can go to coderabbit.ai. You can also go to coderabbit.com, which will redirect you to coderabbit.ai.
.com is not what you lead with? I guess you wanted to know that it's AI, I guess.
Fewer tokens.
Yeah.
And then, just log in with your GitHub, and then you're just good to go. Again, free for open source forever. We have like a free tier and a light tier and a pro tier, and then classic enterprise, contact us. But that pro tier...
Mystery price.
Yeah. How much would you think it should cost?
Yeah. How much money do you have?
Actually, someone came up to me today and they asked me how much it cost, and then they answered their own question before I said anything. They're like, it's like $1,000 a year or something like that. I was like, oh man, we got to go back to the sales team and update those prices. It's because it's... For the pro tier, it's $24 a month if you pay annually, $30 a month if you want to go month to month. 14-day free pro trial, so you can run it on your private repos, et cetera. But again, if it's open source, if it's just a public repo, it's free by default forever.
Nice.
And then the free tier, if you do the 14-day pro trial and you have your repos private, that'll still give you like summaries and some basic things, but it won't do the code review, won't give you like the ability to chat, things like that. You can also just download the CLI or the VS Code or Cursor Windsurf extension, and it's rate limited so to prevent abuse, but it's free. I think it's like an hour is the rate limit. So it's still going to be helpful for you. And there's just, sign in with GitHub and you're good to go. So, and if you're in the market, this is like the sales team. If they hear this, they won't. But just try.
Come on, sales team. Listen to the podcast.
Just try. Yeah, we actually get 100% commission on all the open source projects that use us.
Okay.
That's why they don't send the sales team, because it's $0. The sales team will hate me for saying this one thing. This one thing sales teams don't want you to know, or don't want you to say if you work there. Try out all, if you're in the market and you want to try code review, just try them all out. Just do it. Most of them have some kind of free tier or free trial or something like that. Set up a repo, make it a public repo, but go fork a large open source repo so you can kind of see what would this be like in production. And then have CodeRabbit, have all the other ones you want to check out on there. Just set that like Monday you're going to do this, and set them all up, and then let it run, play with it, and see what you get for different ones. We did have an open source maintainer tweet out Simon Farshid from Assistant UI, which is like probably like if you're doing any chat GPT or Claude-like thing, you want a chat, you want to interact with any of these LLM API providers, you want artifacts, like all that kind of stuff. It's a UI library, and they also have a runtime as well in there to kind of handle all of the different API providers and whatnot. He tweeted out, one of the like least appreciated features of CodeRabbit is that it detects other code review bots. And like our whole thing is to not add spam, right? It's to be helpful and supportive. So even if you have auto review set on, if it detects that someone else is, that there's another bot that's doing code review, it will say, okay, I'll hold off.
Okay.
There's a little comment and says, I'll hold off. If you want me to just say review, @CodeRabbit review. It'll do its full review and everything like that. But like, I don't want to just scroll through 10 different bot messages, pages and pages and pages.
And
right?
They start like, fighting with each other.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. Just code shaming.
Yeah.
But yeah, like really just try them all out. We think it's good. And again, if you don't think it's good and you tried like customizing or anything like that and it's still not working for you, don't use it, and just let us know if you can. Maybe not like a giant tweet or something. but just try it out. Reach out to us. You can reach out to me in DMs at ESTHOR, ESTHOR. Do you want to?
Where can we find you?
I'm just Hendrik Crack.
So cool. I'm just holding back so much.
I'm just...
He's a cracked engineer because his last name... Yeah. Name jokes are never good.
Also, for people watching the live stream, I haven't been falling asleep. It's very sunny over here, so I keep doing this. And I'm sitting.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. Check out CodeRabbit and
yeah, if you guys like this, please subscribe, leave some ratings and reviews. We appreciate it, and we will catch you next time.
Thank you so much.
Later. All right.
You've been watching Whiskey Web and Whatnot, recorded in front of a live studio audience.
What the fuck are you talking about, Chuck?
Enjoyed the show? Subscribe.
You know people don't pay attention to these, right?
Head to whiskey.fun for merch and to join our Discord server.
I'm serious. It's like 2% of people who actually click these links.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends about the show.
All right, dude, I'm out of here.
Still got it.